Hey there, listeners. This is Justin with a quick note before today's episode. Audible.com is offering Beyond the Uniform listeners one free audiobook. You can see this offer, as well as a list of every book guests have recommended on the show, at beyondtheuniform.io/books. That's beyondtheuniform.io/books. Thanks and enjoy the show.
Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and each week I interview military veterans about their civilian career. Today's episode number 63 with Todd Ehrlich.
I'll never forget, like, my fiance at the time and I, it was like a holiday, and we were going to visit some relatives somewhere, and I pulled a car over. I said, hey, I'm about to spend a bunch of money on this idea to start this drink called Killcliff, and you know, I might not get anything out of it, but at least I can say, you know, I did it and I tried and everything else. And she was like, you're great. You'll be awesome at that, you know? And I was like, really? You think so? And she was like, yeah, sure. She's like, you know, you'll make more money if we lose the money or whatever. And I was like, okay, cool. So, like, having her support me at that moment in time was, like, incredibly valuable. And I just kind of moved forward with it.
The top two reasons to listen to today's episode are, number one, serial entrepreneur. Todd has started multiple successful startups, each in different industries. There's the recovery drink, Killcliff, ranked as the 301st fastest growing company in the US, and the real estate appraisal company, TriServe, and more. He talks about the passion of true entrepreneurs, and it comes through in each of his stories and all of his advice. Number two, self-knowledge. I really admire Todd's ability to recognize his strengths and what he enjoys. His Navy SEAL background comes through as he talks about how his sweet spot is the first 1,000 days of a company, dropping in to develop a new idea, pivot in the uncertain circumstances as the idea grows, establishing the right people to keep the momentum going, and then moving on to the next idea. Whether you're interested in entrepreneurship or not, it's a shot of adrenaline listening to the stories from his background. As always, at beyondtheuniform.io, you can sign up for our newsletter, listen to other episodes, see a directory of resources for veterans, and see the show notes for today's episode, where you'll find links to all the books and resources Todd recommends. And with that, let's dive in to my interview with Todd Ehrlich. Well, joining me today in Atlanta is Todd Ehrlich. Todd, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Thanks, Justin. Thanks for having me.
So, quick background on Todd. He's the founder of Killcliff, which is the maker of the recovery drink with the same name. They've got about 40 employees and make continuous donations to the Navy SEAL Foundation. Todd also serves as the CEO at BAM Worldwide, the leading provider of cash management technology for small to medium transportation companies. He's also the founder and chairman of TriServe Appraisal Management Solutions, a real estate appraisal management company. Todd started out in the Navy, where he served as a SEAL for 4 years. After his transition from the military, he held a variety of positions at Kroll Associates, United Rentals, and Jacobs Private Equity. So, Todd, I always think it helps to start off by learning about, you know, at what point you decided to leave the Navy and how you approached that decision.
Well, I unlike most guys in the SEAL teams, I had at the time, I don't know what it's like today, but at the time, I only had a 4-year enlistment, and most guys had 6-year enlistments. And the reason why I only had a 4-year enlistment was I actually read all the information about what it took to get a, you know, kind of go through SEAL training and all that, and realize you didn't have to sign up for 6 years. So I just signed up for 4. And I was coming to the end of my enlistment, and I was in a SEAL platoon. And, you know, at the time in the mid 90s, there wasn't a ton going on. And I just wasn't really, you know, guys were coming back from deployments, not, you know, inspired or, you know, feeling like they changed the world in any way. So I wasn't really excited about staying in a lot longer. And then there was kind of the economics of it too. I didn't feel like I was enlisted. I enlisted, in the Navy. I think I got in as an E2 and got out as an E5. So I didn't feel like the, I guess what I would call the, you know, the economics were awesome, relatively speaking. And even though, like, the signing or the reenlistment bonuses were like $20,000, and they got taxed pretty heavily. And, you know, it seemed like it came out to, like, you know, $4,000 or $3,000 a year, which didn't seem like a huge amount. So for whatever reason, I just decided to move on. And then I did 3 years in the reserves too, which was not awesome either. But you know, I don't know. SEALs are usually a little bit more spirited, and I certainly was. So you know, the military kind of structure was always a little bit stifling for me. So just decided to move on. You know, I figured I could get out there, finish my degree, and you know, kind of see what the world offered.
And at what point did you decide to start Killcliff? Did you always think, I'm going to start my own company? And I'm just always curious to see how an idea becomes a reality for someone.
Yeah, well, I mean, I had kind of always had this idea of what I would call a anti-inflammatory recovery drink bouncing around the back of my head. And I had wanted to start some other companies, and actually it kind of attempted one when I was working in for kind of a guy who was like my mentor at United Rentals, but I just didn't have the time to put into it or the focus, to be honest. And and basically, you know, I think we all sit there with these, you know, business ideas bouncing around our head, and then there's this, you know, grit factor that comes into play. And I just got fed up with myself for, you know, letting time go by and letting, basically a lack of confidence or a lack or the inability to stifle the negative inner voice from you know, letting me go forward. So I finally kind of overcame that and had just been puttering around with the whole drink concept. And when I, you know, eventually kind of, I'll never forget, like, my fiance at the time and I were, it was like a holiday and we were going to visit some relatives somewhere. And I pulled a car over before we got right up to this, you know, as we're getting on like one of the roads up to the house. And I said, hey, I'm about to spend a bunch of money on this idea to start this drink called Killcliff. And, you know, I might not get anything out of it, but at least I can say, you know, I did it and I tried and everything else. And she was like, you're great. You'll be awesome at that. You know? And I was like, really? You think so? And she was like, yeah, sure. She's like, you know, you'll make more money if we lose the money or whatever. And I was like, okay, cool. So like having her support me at that moment in time was like incredibly valuable. And I just kind of moved forward with it.
Oh man, that's so awesome, dude. It's so great to have someone like that in your corner. Cause there's, you know, my experience, and I'm imagining most entrepreneurs and yours as well, is there's so much negativity to overcome inside and outside that if someone's close to you and they're not supportive, it can be such a killer. But to have someone like that in your corner cheering you on is just so awesome.
Yeah, I mean, other people's negative voices are, you know, are almost completely worthless. But the power of a positive voice kind of goes an incredibly long way. I like in my past, I can kind of, you know, look at almost all the negative interaction I've had with, you know, people close to me about the things I remember, you know, one of my very close relatives telling me I'd never make it through SEAL training, you know, and like, just thinking about it and going, God, that's, you know, he's probably right, but like, that's a pretty rough thing to say, you know, like, I'm just not wired like that, right? So I don't think, like, people are like, hey, I'm gonna go do this like crazy tough thing, and I'm like, that's awesome, you know. And maybe I'm just gullible or naive, but you know, I just have like this optimistic outlook. And I think over time, you know, my choice of a, you know, a wife and everything, you know, kind of like I ended up finding someone who had we were different in a lot of ways, but we're very similar, you know, kind of optimistically about what we could do. So,
and one of the things I was curious with, because you've had this history of entrepreneurship now, I'm just wondering, as you look back, would you have started Killcliff right out of the military, or was there certain things that you learned at Cross and United Rentals and Jacobs Private Equity that helped prepare you to start your company?
So that's something I ask myself a lot, right? And the battle I always have is the, you know, the procrastination and, you know, learning along the route. So I knew nothing about starting a beverage company when I started Killcliff. I know substantially more now, but like still in the grand scheme of beverage, I know very little. With that being said, I did learn a lot working for my boss at United Rentals and Jacobs Private Equity about business, a lot about business. And that definitely helped me. And where it really helped me was in the way things got structured, kind of how I funded the company, how I raised money and everything else. But what I would say is I probably could have accomplished that as well. And the one thing I would, if I could do it all over again with everything, I would have probably started everything sooner. I would have tried to be full blown on my own. And I had a foray in entrepreneurship before Killcliff, but I was building a company for, basically one main investor. So, and I was successful at it, but like I was building someone else's dream, right? So, so I guess the point is, I think the knowledge that you gain by starting and getting going and everything is a better value than waiting to get more knowledge. But one thing that I did do is while I was doing other things, like full-time jobs, if you will, I was starting this stuff on the side. So it's not like I just had a clean break one day and like came up with Killcliff. I was doing like, lunch investor meetings to raise money for Killcliff while I was running another company that I had started. So, some people find that to be a bit of a conflict, but I really hadn't, it didn't really conflict with work at all. So I kind of got the ball rolling and got enough steam going before, launching headlong into it. And I've done that, with Trident Services, the appraisal management company. That was something I started before Killcliff. It was an idea. I had some money. I came up with what I thought was a more sophisticated business model for that space. Found a couple guys to put on a team and let them go to work on it and build it up. And we built it into an incredible company that's crushing it today. So I did that on the side, So that those types of things, kind of like solving the problem if anything, it puts your mind to work on those things and there's a value in that. So you don't have to like completely jump ship like from one boat into another. And sometimes I see people that do that. They're just looking for a job. Sometimes, not everybody, but sometimes guys are just looking for jobs when they're like, I'm going to be an entrepreneur and start a company. I'm like, you're not really an entrepreneur. Like, you're not passionate about starting this business. You're doing it because it's going to pay you a paycheck. I guess I probably have a lot of thoughts on that, but we can talk about that if you want. But yeah. I've seen that.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I'm interested in your perspective on that too, because you've started, different companies that are successful, but very different, like it doesn't seem like there's a lot of overlap with Killcliff and then TriServe, but both are doing well. And I'm just wondering, more of your thoughts on that, of that passion versus, and I agree, it seems like there's a lot of entrepreneurship now that's just about looking for money rather than like looking to create something and looking to build something new and grow something.
Yeah, there was an article in the Harvard Business Review by, I think his name's John Doerr from Kleiner Perkins, about missionaries versus, mercenaries. And, the truth be told, I think I fall into the missionary category where I'm just doing stuff I love to do. I'm a, technically, a nerd about this stuff. I nerd out on it. And, that's, that's the difference, right? Like, this isn't just a job to me. This is like, I've now chosen like the rest of my life, I will be an entrepreneur. And the way I say it for me personally is I'm really good at the first 1,000 days or 2,000 days of a business, like kind of the whole concept to, getting the cash flow going. I can figure out, everything that needs to happen and deal with the pivots that you have to make along the way sometimes. I heard about another entrepreneur, kind of a friend of mine I know, and he just picked up his family and moved to Silicon Valley and all that stuff. And my buddy, who's closer friends with him, was telling me, that they, were now kind of competing against another company that I knew pretty well. And I was like, that's funny, because when he called me looking for business, he wasn't doing that. And I'm like, did he pivot to that? And he was like, oh yeah, he's made like three pivots, but he's, you know, he is making it through each of those pivots and, you know, kind of getting to the next level and making it work and raising tons of money and all that stuff. And I guess the point is, that's an entrepreneur. That dude is pivoting until he gets, you know, that business positioned properly to like explode in a good way. You know, so he's a real entrepreneur. Like, he's not just doing it for the job, you know. And so many guys, you know, they'll just be like, oh, well, you hear this, there's like a certain, you know, category of investors that fall into this category too, where they're like, oh, well, you know, your idea, your plan wasn't perfect, so, you know, screw you, you know, I'm not interested or whatever. And you're just like, no, you know, we didn't expect it to be perfect. We're making assumptions based on what we thought the market was, and the market wasn't what we thought it was, and all these other things changed. And, you know, so therefore, you know, we changed our assumptions and re-attacked and refaced the market, and it, now it's working, right? So that's an entrepreneur that just kind of has that grit that just doesn't give up.
Oh, I love that. And one of the things I was curious about, like, what does your life look right now? You've got a couple different companies, a couple different roles. What does your typical day look like? Are you kind of dancing between different obligations, or how do you structure your day?
No, I spend so my full time, you know, life is BAM. I, you know, that's my full time job. I'm, you know, very focused on it. With Killcliff, I'm involved with the CEO, helping him, you know, build the company, raise capital, all that stuff. I wouldn't say actually build the company, more like, you know, being a good sounding board for him. I'm on the board of directors there, and I interact with a few of the board members. With the other company, TriServe, I'm pretty close to the CEO. I talk to him a couple times a week. I'm, you know, the chairman, but that company runs like a well-oiled machine, because it's, you know, when you get in these companies that are super system-driven and not like, you know, big, you know, shops of people, it's more system, you know, they kind of run like machines at that stage. You know, it's just like, hey, we need to add another person when we get to this level of revenue, and when we finish this, you know, project, we won't need that many more people. So it's just kind of a, you know, that business runs really smoothly. So I'm very focused on BAM. You know, I recently hired another vet, who I mentioned to you earlier. He's a, you know, Naval Academy guy, NFO, F-18 pilot, or NFO, and worked at McKinsey, went to HBS, all that stuff. And you know, he's a real, like, you know, without, you know, trying to sound funny, he's a great wingman. So him coming on board has really helped me tremendously kind of get out of the, what I would call the day-to-day, you know, kind of, you know, battling on the kind of on the business, and be able to be more strategic and more like a CEO should be, you know, just figuring out ways to improve and increase equity value creation. So bringing that guy on board has been huge. So my, actually at this point in my life, with three kids and, you know, and three little ones, I'm in a better place than I've ever been. When Killcliff and BAM were both kind of coming out of the ground, I had, and this is one of those things where I do this thing where I teach some doctors some business skills, for another company, just as a side, you know, thing. It's kind of fun for me to do. When people make excuses about entrepreneurship and business and all that, I kind of bring this example up from my own life that'll kind of put everything, that'll frame everything, you know, for anybody listening. Killcliff was starting, BAM was starting. I quit my job as the CEO of the company I was running. I had a 3-month-old son, you know, and, you know, basically no income, and kind of got everything going. In that process, you know, I had a business partner who was supposed to run one company and I was supposed to run the other. And then he decided entrepreneurship wasn't really going to be his deal at that point in his life, and he moved on, and he's a great guy. It's like, you know, it's like SEAL training, right? Like, it's not for everyone. And I never, like, when guys would quit, I'd be like, dude, it's cool, man. Like, don't be ashamed of that. Like, you gave it a, you know, your best shot. It's just not for everybody, right? So entrepreneurship is kind of like that sometimes. You know, it's kind of like people like the comfort of knowing they got a paycheck and a boss that they can, you know, brown nose and everything else, right? So so basically in that situation, you know, these companies were cruising along, and then we had a second child, and 18 months later, and I'm, you know, still struggling in the throes of all this stuff. And then, like, in the middle of the night one night, a giant 90,000 pound tree crashed down on my house and, you know, almost killed me and my wife. So we were homeless, and we had two babies and no house. And, you know, so, and I had two baby companies too, right? So somehow, through all that, you know, made it work, built a new house, had a third baby. You know, Killcliff was, you know, Inc. 500 number 130 fastest growing company in America. BAM was growing, my other company was growing. So I guess the point of all that diatribe there, Justin, is that there is no excuse for anything. If I showed you a picture of what my bedroom looked like after that tree fell on it, you would have thought my bomb went off. The point being, there's no excuse for, you know, not finding a way to make it. And that's kind of what separates entrepreneurs from guys that just want, like, cool jobs.
I love it, man. I love so much what you're saying. And I also really admire your self-knowledge and saying, like, I'm the guy for the first 1,000 days, and then you're able to bring someone on and kind of continue the company. And I just feel like there's a lot of people who cling on to that position as CEO, even though that's not what they enjoy or what they're, you know, what they want to do. And so I think it takes a lot of discipline and self-knowledge to say, like, I'm going to start this and then get it going, and then I'm going to go on to the next thing. And it seems like you've really found your stride and your sweet spot with that.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that's what I should do. And I should find other leaders to follow behind me. I think, sure, could I run a company, you know, after that period of time and build it up into the hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue? Of course, I think I can. I don't think that's what I'm best at, though. And I don't think I have the patience for that either. So I'm really good at that. Like, hey, this is, like, the next 24 months is going to be a struggle. It's going to be really hard. It's going to suck for a while. But we're going to build this from scratch, and it's going to be awesome. And let's build a team to do it. Like, I know that's what I'm good at. So I should do that, you know. It's hard, though, you know. It's a challenging position to be in, because you're kind of always in this state of, you know, okay, I think we're going to make it. But, you know, based on everything sitting in front of me, that would tell me we're not going to make it, but somehow we're going to find a way to make it, right? And that's a tough place to be, kind of perennially. But, you know, some one way or another, kind of figure out a way to make it. So
I love it. It just seems like, you know, and obviously from an external view of Special Forces, it seems like the parallels are so strong, where you kind of go in, you get the job done, and then you get out. And it's just it's kind of crazy to see that parallel in the civilian world of, like, getting in there, pivoting, operating this unknown environment, and then extracting out of it. It's awesome.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Just recently with my company, we got invited to be at the one of the premier industry associations in our space, and to be like one of the top 20 kind of, you know, not thought leaders, but, you know, kind of along those lines in the space. And so they invited me to this meeting, and I went to the meeting, and we're the youngest company in the space by 10 years, right? Like, there was, like, you know, there was a lot of guys and gals who had known each other for a very long time at this meeting. And I knew a few, but, like, really, you know, had very little history with everybody. And it was cool and it was neat and everything, but, like, that's not the room I really belong in long term, right? So, and I know it, right? I'm like, you know, we're across the street from the Atlanta Tech Village, and you know, I love, like, entrepreneurs, right? Like, these guys are out there just, like, scrappy, making stuff happen, you know, changing the game for everybody. And, you know, not all of them are gonna make it, but, like I feel like the good ones do, and they figure out they're good entrepreneurs, and they just keep doing it, right? Because there is kind of a special formula to it. And I I really respect those people. It's fascinating. This is grit-based stuff, right? It's like completely based on, you know, your level to, you know, adapt and, you know, be self-aware and deal with like what's going on and kind of push everybody and not really show everybody how scared you are and everything. It is kind of the difference between, you know, success and failure, more or less, right?
I love it. And if someone's listening right now, let's say that they're on active duty and they wanna start their own company, what advice would you have for them either on, well, I guess, yeah, what advice would you have for them about starting their own company?
Well, I mean, so I heard a story recently directly from the guy who he was kind of on active duty at the time, deployed, and his wife was a nurse and you know, there was a business model around her, you know, her profession that he came up with and was able to start it and build it. So I guess for me, I think the conceptualization and the ideation of whatever your business model is great if you just start writing it down. And then when you have like it doesn't have to be a business plan. People get all into their business plans and that's great. And you know, I've seen, you know, a few, but like they're never really, you know, I think the Airbnb business plan was like, you know, an 8-slide deck that kind of like tells you what you need to know there. So I think, you know, people can get hung up in that. But once you kind of have a conceptual idea of what you want to do and how you want to do it, then I think you got to set some goals and you know, you don't have to hit every goal directly on point, but on target, but you should figure out like kind of like, hey, what am I really trying to accomplish here? And keep in mind that people always overestimate their ability to perform. I think there's actually a, you know, behavioral science experiment that was done that basically, you know, showed us that people overestimate their abilities by about 30% across the board. So I know I've done it. Other people do it. I see other people do it all the time. So just try to handicap yourself and say, hey, I think I can do X, Y, and Z, but let's just assume I can only do half, right? Then, you know, that'll help because there's always other things, and you always kind of add more to the equation as you move along, and it's always more complex and takes twice as long and everything else. So I guess start with a decent plan or idea, write it down, set some goals, and then, you know, kind of don't be in a rush, like kind of be willing to take your time to do it. I think, for instance, you know, everything I've done has always taken more time than I thought. So if you're patient, you know, you can get there, but have some ideas. And then also, you know, don't be afraid to pivot. You know, sometimes pivoting is the right thing to do. So you might have a great idea and be going down one route and then come up with another. Like, look at the guys from ID Me. You know, they came out with this. It was basically Groupon for military. And they came to me and said, hey, we'd love you to, you know, put a Killcliff deal on our deal. I think it was called Troop Swap or something like that. And I was like, you know what I really need? Is I really need a way to know that people that are coming to my website are actually military, so I can give them a military discount. Because there's a lot of people that say they're military that aren't, and I don't want to give those losers discounts. You know, I want to give real discounts to real military people. And, you know, I wasn't the only person having that problem, and they came up with IDME. So, you know, it's that kind of thing. They had a huge pivot and it looks like it worked, right? So don't be afraid to do that.
That's great. Well, I know that we're running out of time. I always like to leave the last question just open-ended, which is, knowing that you have an audience of veterans and active duty military personnel, anything else you'd want to say? It could be about personal life or professional life, but what other last pieces of advice would you want to pass on?
Yeah, I guess I'd go back to my own history, kind of transitioning from the military to civilian life. You know, the big takeaway for me is people aren't like you. They're not, they don't, the average person walking the earth out there, there's a reason why they didn't join the military. There's a reason why you did. So it took me a while to figure that out. And then once I figured it out, it was a little bit depressing, where I was kind of like, wow, people are crap. You know what I mean? Like, and that's really tough, you know, when you're like, wow, people aren't honest. And that guy just lied for no reason. You know, and you're just kind of like, I don't get it, right? So I think that for me personally, that was one of the most challenging things to deal with. And I look back, my military friends are, you know, still most of my best friends that I have. And they're, you know, great people and great guys. I guess the point is it's really hard to adjust to that. But then on top of it, you know, you have all these benefits, you know, like you're, you know, if like I gotta catch a flight today. If I miss the flight, I'm not going to get in any kind of trouble for that. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I'm not like, there's all these things that are just not, you know, red zones anymore where, you know, you can't get in trouble for it. Like if I tell somebody some secret information about my business, you know, I'm not going to get put in Leavenworth for that. So, you know what I mean? So there's a lot of pros and cons, but it can be a little disappointing when you're interacting with people and they're like, oh yeah, blah, 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 this is great. And you're like, that guy's a complete liar, you know? So that's part of it. I think the other thing I would say is you got to be really careful of like, of those people out there, you know, what, you know, kind of who you're dealing with. You got to be careful and start like really, if I could have done earlier in my career, I would have like started kind of categorizing people and like taking real careful notes on who people were and what their character was and everything else. You know, and if I like, I'm a big reader. I dropped out of college to join the Navy, and tried to go back, but the kids at the school I went to were just so ridiculous. I couldn't take so I guess I read a lot, and I've got some book recommendations if you want them.
Yeah, I would love them. Yeah.
Yeah, so one is Mindset by a woman named Carol Dweck. It basically talks about how, you know, people can have growth mindsets or kind of a fixed mindset. It's a really powerful book. It's even got a couple lines in there on leadership. I find it to be incredibly valuable. I recommend it to all the doctors that I teach in that course. And then another one is called Grit by Angela Duckworth, just kind of explains a lot. I see it a lot in entrepreneurship, this kind of grit aspect. You know, strongly recommend that. So I think, you know, kind of understanding, you know, like people's mindsets and kind of what makes one person succeed and another one fail, is a value. And you know, going into this, knowing that stuff, like I didn't read those before I left the military, but going into this stuff, knowing those things can definitely help. And then this is going to sound like a, you know, kind of a crazy one, but it could help kind of bypass or you know, kind of miss some bad opportunities. There's a book called The Sociopath Next Door that talks about just kind of how common, you know, people with this, you know, kind of these sociopathic tendencies are. That was the thing, like, that really got me out there in the business world, was I kept running into people that were not good people, and I just didn't understand it. And what you got to figure out is there's, you know, there really are, you know, people out there that just, they're not, their values aren't your values and everything else. And so that book helped me understand, like, hey, people fall into different categories. I need to be aware of that like, it's not like my, you know, buddies from my, you know, SEAL training class who are all great guys, right? There's some real scum out there. So, And sometimes that those guys are disguised as great people. You know, they got the right education, they got the right this, they got the right that, but they're really not out there to help you. And I know that sounds like a pretty cynical way to look at things, but it's the truth. And you see them in every organization. And you know, the best thing you can do as an entrepreneur is keep those people out of your organization. I call it, you know, the no douchebag rule. But, you know, the truth is you gotta work hard to do it. And sometimes, you know, if you recognize it, that's great. But sometimes you got to go to another, you know, kind of a umpire, if you will, to make the call for you. So, and you can do that through, there's professional resources that you can hire to do that. But that's, you know, in my experience, the biggest mistakes I've made are about hiring people and letting somebody slip by that I shouldn't have. In fact, I can think of four major glaring, you know, hiring errors I made around that personality type, where, you know, they're very charming and they sell you on how great they are and everything else, and then they get into your organization and just wreak havoc. So, you know, I'd read that book and just have a knowledge of, like, that's the biggest real issue you have, is somebody just screwing your business up because they're just not playing the game the same way everybody else is. And when I say game, like, they are keeping track based on something else. It's not dollars that they make. It's not, you know, building relationships. It's, you know, how many people can they hurt? And that's really kind of how some of these people operate. I know that's, like, kind of a depressing way to end a conversation, but it's true.
Oh, no, I think this is great, man. I think that, you know, personally, I've benefited from a lot of your advice. And for listeners on the show notes, I'll put links to all of those books. But super valuable just to hear the stories of how you've gone about this. And the energy just comes through, man. It's so energizing hearing you talk about this, because it's so clear that you're passionate and that you care about what you're building and you care about the people you work with. So thank you for taking the time to speak with us. I know between three kids and three businesses, it's got to be pretty crazy. But I know this will help a lot of veterans.
I hope it does, and, you know, feel free to, you know, come back to me with anything else.
Surface, surface, surface.
Thanks for listening. As we wrap up, I wanted to share three quick but important announcements. First of all, if you haven't already, please sign up for my newsletter at beyondtheuniform.io. Although I publish on LinkedIn and Facebook, I'll be starting to use the newsletter as my primary means to share new articles, episodes, and resources relevant to the veteran community. Second, I would love to hear from you. Sometimes I feel like I'm in a relationship where I do all of the talking. You can view me as your very own dedicated resource to help you and other veterans in your civilian career. Have feedback on what I can do differently? Let me know. Someone in particular you want me to track down for an interview? I'm all ears. Know of another way that I could help the veteran community? I'm dying to know. You can find me on LinkedIn, comment on any post at beyondtheuniform.io, email me at justin@beyondtheuniform.io, or if you're in the intel industry, I'm sure you can track me down in some super creepy way. However you do it, take me up on it. I thrive on feedback. Lastly, a quick plug for a few resources I think would benefit any veteran. American Corporate Partners and Service to School both provide free assistance to any veteran. American Corporate Partners pairs you with a mentor in your desired industry, and Service to Schools finds a mentor at a suitable undergrad or graduate school program to help you with your application. Check them out. As always, tons of great content and resources available at beyondtheuniform.io. I'm Justin Nasiri, and I'll be back soon with more great episodes.